We continue in our study of John's first epistle, and we shall begin reading today in chapter 4 and considering from verse 11 and on, and we shall find that the Apostle John dwells even further upon the great responsibility of God's children to love one another. In the preceding part, John recorded the fact of God's love, a love that was manifested to us by the gift of his only begotten Son, the very one who became the propitiation for our sins upon the cross of Calvary, as John has stated it in the 10th verse. It is in view of God's love shown in Christ that he now goes on in verse 11 to bring the responsibility of loving one another in the family of God. Listen to his words. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now our Father has set the example for us, and he demands, rightly, that as his children, we should love one another. How completely and how perfectly the Father has revealed his love, measureless in its breadth, measureless in its length, measureless in its depth, measureless in its height. And that, though we are so unworthy, he has done this for us. Yet this is the very basis that we who are the children of God, we ought to love one another. The beloved Apostle John goes on to remind us that though no man hath seen God at any time, the world can only get a reflection of God in and through his children. When is the words that follow in verse 12, John goes on to say, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. In other words, we must realize that God does not wish a small reflection of his love to be shown in us, rather a complete full reflection of it, and which can only be as we obey his words. Love one another. May I remind you of what the Lord Jesus said in John 13:34? Love one another even as I have loved you. Let not you and I, my fellow believer, fail to recognize this. God himself is dwelling in us and desires that his love should shine and be reflected through us by loving one another. And the only way his love will be fully exhibited has got to be when we manifest that love of his toward one another. The next verse, the 13th in our chapter, goes on to declare another enablement that will help us to do this, love one another. It brings before us the blessed person of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the words. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit, a precious truth, has been given to all of God's children, and the child of God has experimental knowledge of the Spirit working within, which in itself confirms the blessed truth. We dwell in God, and he himself in us. Oh, my beloved fellow believer, God has taken up his dwelling place in your heart and in mine through the fact of the indwelling Holy Spirit. I really wonder, do we believers in God's family really take in and show and prove this precious truth? We dwell in God and he in us. What a tremendous fact this is. How solemn, but how happy. The truth of it should certainly be to us and grip our hearts. Now, how did it all come to pass? Well, verse 14 goes on to tell. And we have seen. We do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We know, as the children of God, our Father sent his Son to be the Savior, and to be the Savior of the whole world. And how precious Everyone who has believed upon the Lord Jesus has confessed him as their Savior and knows that he came to be the Savior of the world. This is a wonderful title for our Savior, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. I wonder if, my radio listener, you recall when it was first given to the Lord. It was spoken about him by the citizens of Samaria, when in John chapter 4 they heard the testimony of the Samaritan woman, to whom Jesus spoke at the well called Sychar. The woman went into the city and invited the men of the city to come and hear the Savior. They came, they heard him, they believed him. Then not only through her testimony, but they said, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world." John chapter 4 and verse 42. Now this is the confession that all God's born-again children make, according to what John wrote in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14. And we have the same testimony today. He is the Savior of the world. My radio friend, may I suggest, if you do not know the Savior of the world, would you not like to know him? Can I ask, is he your Savior? Please listen to what it will mean if you will confess the Savior. We would read a verse, the 15th verse of our chapter in 1 John 4. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. That word, please note the opening word of the verse, whosoever. That word, whosoever, my friend, includes you. It includes anyone and every person. Now what does God want anyone and everyone to do? He wants them to make a sincere and genuine confession regarding his Son. And as John says, if we confess him, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God? Yes, not only Jesus of Nazareth, but Jesus the Son of God. Have we not read in the 14th verse? The Father sent the Son, his only begotten Son, to be the Savior of the world. When the Savior was upon the earth, on one occasion he questioned a man whom he had given sight to. And he said to him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" The man answered Jesus, and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" The Savior answered and said, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." The man looked at the Savior and replied, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. This is found in John 9, verses 35 through verse 38. My radio friend, we want to put a straightforward question, and an important question to you. I wish I knew what you thought of Christ, but I want God to know what you think of him. And it is more important that God knows what you think. But I ask you the question, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the one who loved you, the one who died for you upon the cross to save you from your sins and their penalty? Upon the answer will depend your eternal destiny. If you confess him as the Son of God, your Savior, you will be saved. For listen to the words that Paul once wrote to the Romans, reading in chapter 10 of the Roman Epistle in verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thine mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This, my radio friend, is the only way of salvation. This is the only way that you will ever know God dwelleth in you, and you dwell in God. Your name is in this verse. Whosoever, said John, shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. And your name is whosoever. Will you put your name in? And if you will confess him, you will join the whosoever will, and accept the Christ, the Son of God, as your Savior. And God grant you will do it now. For see, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher of London, England, who once said that the world was divided up into two camps. There were those whom he called the whosoever will, and the other was called, in his opinion, the whosoever won't. Ah, my friend, it's not a question that you cannot receive the Savior, but the problem is you will not. For when the Lord was upon the earth, he said to those Pharisees in their arrogance and pride, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. They could have come. They should have come, but they would not. Now, my friend, what will you do? Please may I say that every child of God has confessed that Jesus is the Son of God. But have you? If not, will you do it now? Father, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, the Son of the living God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, move some heart and soul that say, I believe. And may they fall upon their faces before the Savior in worship, acknowledging him to the saving of their souls in his own precious and worthy name. Amen.